Tom. Seventh canto, fifth chapter, what text? 53? 52. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Dharmam
Dharmam
Artam
Artam
Cha
Cha
Kamam
Kamam
Cha
Cha
Nitaram
Nitaram
Janupurvasaha
Janupurvasaha
Parada Yochatu
Parada Yochatu
Rajan
Rajan
Prashita Vanataya Cha
Prashita Vanataya Cha
Dharmamar Dharmamartam cha kamam cha
Dharmamartam cha karmam cha
Nitaram cha nupurvashah
Nitaram cha nupurvashah
Paradayochatu
Rajan Paradayochatu
Rajan Prashita Vanataya
cha Prashita Vanataya
cha Dharmam Artam cha Kamam cha
Dharmam Artam cha Kamam cha
Nitaram cha Nupurvashah
Nitaram cha Nupurvashah
Paradayochatu
Rajan Paradayochatu Chaturajan
Rashita Vanataya
cha Rashita Vanataya
cha Dharmam Artam cha Kamam cha
Dharmam Artam cha Kamam cha
Nitaram cha Nupurvashah
Nitaram cha Nupurvashah
Praradayo cha Taurajan
Praradayo cha Turajan
Aprashita Vanataya
cha Aprashita Vanataya cha
Okay.
Dharma Artam cha Chakamam cha
Dharma Artam cha Kamam cha
Nitaram Chanupurvasaha
Nitaram Chanupurvasaha
Paradhaya Chaturajan
Paradhaya Chaturajan
Parshita Vanataya cha
Parshita Vanataya cha Dharmam Artam cha Kamam cha
Dharmam Artam cha
Kamam cha
Nitaram cha Nupurvasha
Nitaram cha Nupurvasha
Praradayo Chaturajan
Praradayo Chaturajan
Prashrita Vanataya cha
Prashrita Vanataya cha
Dharmam Artam cha Kamam cha
Dharmam Artam cha Kamam cha
Nitaram cha Nupurvashah
Nitaram cha Nupurvashah
Prahladaya Chaturajan
Prahladaya Chaturajan
Prashrita Vanataya cha
Prashrita Vanataya cha
All right. Dharma.
Dharma.
Mundane occupational duty.
Mundane occupational duty.
Artam.
Artam.
Economic development.
Economic development.
Ja.
Ja.
And.
And.
Kamam.
Kamam.
Sense gratification.
Sense gratification.
Ja.
Ja.
And.
And.
Nitaram.
Nitaram.
Always.
Always.
Ja.
Ja.
And.
And.
Anupurvashah.
Anupurvashah.
According to order.
According to order.
Or from the beginning to the end.
Or from the beginning to the end.
Pradaya.
Pradaya.
Unto Prahlad Maharaja.
Unto Prahlad Maharaja.
Uchatuhu. They spoke. Rajan.
Rajan.
O king.
O king.
Rashita.
Rashita.
Who was humble.
Who was humble.
Avanataya.
Avanataya.
And submissive.
And submissive.
Cha.
Cha.
also.
Awesome.
So translation. Thereafter, Sunda and Amarka systematically and unceasingly taught Prahlad Maharaj, who was very submissive and humble, about mundane religion, economic development, and sense gratification. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are four processes for human society, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, and they culminate in the Vaishnava. Human society must follow a process of religion to advance, and on the basis of religion, one should try to develop his economic conditions so that he can fulfill his needs for a sense gratification according to the religious rules and regulations. Then liberation from material bondage will be easier to attain. That is the Vedic process. One is above the stages of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. One becomes a devotee. He is then on the platform from which he is guaranteed not to fall again to material existence, yadvatva nanivartante. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, if one transcends these four processes and is actually liberated, one engages in devotional service. Then he is guaranteed not to fall to material existence again. So, dharmam artam chikamam cha nitaram janapurvashaha prarada yajatu rajan. Prashita vanathaya cha. So, Om Gana Chandrandasha Jananjana Shalakya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shivirve Namaha. So, these are called Purusharthas. Does anyone know what Purushartha means? Purushartha means the goals of people, of mankind. So, there's these four mentioned. And in a second, we're going to talk about the Panchama Purusharta. What's Panchama Purusharta mean?
The
fifth goal, right. Panchama Purusharta. So, we find in, I guess we'll talk about Hindu society. People, talk about mundane religion. All right, mundane religion is executed for a variety of reasons. Actually, this is interesting. Talking about mundane religion. In the 18th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, what is one's situation if one doesn't follow Shastra? What is one's religion? Is it of goodness? Is it of passion or ignorance? And Krishna answers that based upon the modes that one is in, he develops religion in different modes. Which is interesting. Just like you see, I mean, there's people who, I mean, so many horrible. This in Nepal, I was reading not the other day, it was actually about a year ago, they have some ceremony where they kill thousands of either buffalo or something like that, and the blood is flowing through the street. You heard about that before?
Yes.
Or in certain places, certain Muslim societies, I think it's on Eid, they kill actually cows in the street and there's blood flowing in the street.
Yes.
And obviously that's not even in their shastras. It's just something that, you know, just came up. It's tradition. Just like Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj when Nanda Maharaj is preparing to worship Indra. He says, you know, what is this? Is this a shastra or is it tradition? So that you'll generally find most religious people are actually following a tradition that has no basis in connection with God. And that's interesting. How come I say that? Because there's this statement in the Vedic literature, is dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The dharma, you know, religion, whether we're talking about, you know, even dharma, varnashram dharma, which is part of the material world, or transcendental dharma, must come from
Krishna,
God. Just like we have our disciplic succession. You heard of disciplic succession? That means you have, we were talking about this the other day in Prabhupada's appearance day, that you have Krishna, and then he instructs the first acharya in every sampradaya. There's four acharyas, beginning acharyas that were instructed by God. There's Lakshmi, is Rudra, is Kumaras, and who else? Anyone know?
Brahma.
Brahma is four sampradayas. And so, but the information came from Krishna. Even Vyasadeva is called the compiler of the Vedic literatures. In one sense, you say author, but the Vedic knowledge, actually the word Veda means knowledge. Vedanta means the conclusion or the goal of knowledge. So basically, it's Krishna who's the source. And where does Krishna say that in the Gita? Does anyone know? 15:15. Anyone know that verse?
Yes.
What's the Sanskrit for it? Anyway, so very important verse. So mundane religion can mean two things. One is, I'm just unpacking this word, just speculative religion, or it can mean mundane Vedic religion, because there are injunctions in the Vedic literatures for mundane things. Now one may ask, why there are injunctions in the Vedic literatures for mundane things? Because at least it gets people to understand that there's some superior direction. And ultimately, in all these mundane injunctions, like if you go to the original Vedas, you're going to find Vishnu is worshipped. It's like a trick. You know, Om Tad Vishnu Param Padam Shanti Yat Surya. That's a statement in the Rig Veda. All the demigods that are looking to Vishnu. So you're sort of tricked, and it sort of regulates people so they're not completely unregulated. For example, you have in the Vedic literatures the injunction that you can eat a goat. Yes. And you eat a goat by once a month offering to the goddess Kali. And what do you say? Mamsakadati. That means in the next life you'll get a chance to eat meat. So you get a little discouraged. Imagine if you had to go to the supermarket and you buy a chicken, and part of the procedure of checking out at the checkout counter, you have to say loudly, in the next life, this chicken will eat me. People can start to get discouraged after a while, or if there was a label on the chicken package. Buy this, in the next life, this is going to be you in the same package. So the Vedic conjunction is Mamsakadati. So next life you'll get a chance to eat meat. So once a month they can do that. Of course, they do unfortunately take advantage of those particular injunctions and kill the goat more than once a month on the full moon day. So anyway, there are injunctions like that. You know, worshiping the demigods. If one wants a good wife, you do this. If one wants a good husband, you do that. There's like, you know, Kachayani Vrat, you've heard of it?
The gopis
did it. Yes. I mean, they actually followed the Vedic conjunction for the proper transcendental purpose. We had I had one disciple, a lady, she wanted a husband, and she followed the Kachayani Vrat. And she got someone, not Krishna. She got some mundane person. But, you know, he's a devotee, I'm sorry. She got a devotee as a husband, so. So it works. But this type of mundane religion is actually allowed. The mundane religion is just speculative, is not allowed. Remember, I talk about two types of mundane religion. One has had nothing to do with Shastra, and the other one has to do with Shastra. Mundane aspects of Shastra. Because Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Dish Trigunya Bhavarjuna. Anyone know that verse? No. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdvan Dvodnetva Selfisto Nir Yoga Shemam. The Vedas are mainly dealing with the three modes of nature, because Arjuna, he was presenting mundane religion to get out of serving Krishna. Right? He was saying, you know, if we kill all these guys, the women will be unprotected, there'll be unwanted progeny. Yeah, it's true. So what he's saying is not untrue. You know, how can I kill my grandfather? You want to kill your grandfather? What would you do if Krishna came and says, all right, kill your grandfather? Oh my God, what a test. In the Bible, you actually have a similar test. Anyone's heard of that text?
He's Moses.
Not Moses. No, it's Abraham.
Abraham, sorry. Yeah.
Sacrificing his son. So, and of course, he didn't actually do it.
No.
But the heavy test that Arjuna had to do there. So anyway, so there are injunctions. You're not supposed to kill your grandfather. It's against the rules. You're not supposed to kill your teacher.
No.
Your guru. Going to work?
No.
Oh, breakfast. Okay. You're the mother. So, so you're not supposed to... So these are all bona fide injunctions. Which is actually very interesting. So anyway, Krishna and Arjuna had that whole discussion, but the Vedas are mainly dealing with these three modes of nature. And the reason one performs these mundane religious ceremonies is for economic development. Just like sometimes if we're in the Krishna conscious temple, people will come for different blessings. You know, people ask me for blessings so they're successful at business. People come and they offer their car blessings. I mean, it's like somehow or other we have to set up a drive-up window for car blessings. You know, drive-up window like I have in the banks?
Yeah.
You have that here?
Yeah.
You know, you drive your car up, you get your car blessed. You know, the first time I had to do a car blessing, I didn't understand what was going on. They said, you know, I want to offer my car to Krishna.
Thank you.
And I was thinking, wow, we could use a Mercedes. You know, it'd be kind of nice. So they drove up in Mercedes, and they put the garland on the car. You ever see that?
Yes.
The garland on the car, you do it. I don't know, RT to a car. You know, she car, Charana Padma, the lotus tires in my car are the only refuge I have in this world. And so... that's the reason for this mundane religion. Whether it's according to the Vedas or not according to the Vedas, it's usually economic development. Economic development can mean more than just cars and money. It can mean agriculture. That's economic development. Because traditionally, the Vaishyas, they didn't have, let's say, money. They would have land, gold, cows, things like that. So the economic development, just like the Govardhan, not the Govardhan, but the Indra Puja is like that for economic development. And the whole purpose of money is what? Sense gratification. I mean, mundane. We're not talking about Krishna consciousness. We also like money for serving Krishna. You know, money is not bad. Just like sometimes they say, what? Money is the root of what?
All evil.
But it's not really the root of all evil. But when it's not used for Krishna, it becomes an aspect of Kali. It's like Parikshit Maharaj, he gave Kali different places to live, right?
Yes.
What were the four places originally?
In the crown.
Gold.
The four places originally, before you got to the gold.
The four regulated principles.
Yes, sex. Intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating, and kava. there's five. Anyway, so, and then Kali said, no, that ain't going on anywhere in your kingdom. So what am I going to do? And then that's wherever gold is. And just like the story of Manigriva and Nalakuvara, the problem that they had, the reason they got it, they were walking around naked like that is because they were proud. I mean, they were lusty too. Don't get me wrong. But they were proud that they didn't cover themselves when Narada Muni came. Why were they proud? Because they had money. It does that. Money contaminates what one, if one doesn't use it for Krishna. So anyway, so there's dharma, artha, kama. And then when you've done a lot of kama, artha of course means economic development, karma, sense gratification, guess what? You get burnt out.
Yeah.
Get burnt out. Just like Prabhupada talked about this one. Oh my God. I don't know if I should use an example. But anyway, he told this, but one so-called sadhu, Ramakrishna, he had done so much illicit life, you know, karma, that he was so burnt out. And finally he gets married. And then because he's so burnt out, he calls his wife mother. Prabhupada actually said that. He couldn't relate to his wife as a wife. He just related to her mother. And then, of course, he came up with this whole philosophy that she was the universal mother.
And she was worshipping
her. Yeah, he was worshipping her. I mean, it's kind of... Prabhupada... I'll probably get criticized for mentioning this. But Prabhupada was the one who said this. Who's that? Oh! Govardhan Hill, Kijai. Govardhan. So anyway, so... So what happens is that when you get too much sense gratification, after a while, it's just like, blah. But that just lasts for a short time. And then you want what? Moksha. You want, let me get out of here. So that's why Ramakrishna is talking about moksha or something like that. Let me get out of here. Let me get out of this material world. Let me end it all. And then the problem with this moksha, of course... The Vedic moksha means one goes to the Brahma-jyoti or tries to merge into the existence of the Supreme Personality Godhead. But then again, aruya kachena param padam pada, again you fall down. You want to engage in sense gratification because only after a short period of time are you satisfied with moksha. I mean, that's the way the material world is. And then you engage in this whole system again, mundane religion, economic development, sense gratification, moksha, and then you just go revolving around and around. But we are interested in Panchama Purusharta, which is Krishna consciousness, which is the fifth goal of human life. And that fifth goal of human life is executed by the process of bhakti yoga. And in this way, as Prabhupada says here, Yadgatwa Nadivartante Tadama Paramamaba. What does that mean? Anyone know what that means? Yadgatwa Nadivartante Tadama Paramamaba. Once attaining this, he doesn't come back. Yadgatwa. You know, attaining? I guess it must be similar to Hindi.
Gati.
Gati. Yeah, the goal.
The goal.
Yes. Goal. Gati. Yadgatwa Nadivartante. Not Nivartante, doesn't come. Yeah. Tadama Paramahamaba. That is my supreme abode. And that supreme abode is described by Krishna in the Gita as Natadvasyate Suryo. Nasashanko Napavaka Yadgatwa Nivartante Tadama Paramahamaba. What does that mean? Is it? Natadvasyate Suryo. In that abode of mine, there's no. Listening, Keshwa?
No sun.
Yeah, there's no sun. There's no need of sun.
Yeah.
Now, pavaka. Pavaka sometimes means lightning or electricity.
Electricity.
Yeah, but pavaka means like lightning, so electricity.
Yeah.
There's no need of moonlight, sunlight, or electricity. Everything there is self-effulgent. So why would one want to go back there? Because, not only because you go there and you don't have to return, but everything is full of eternity bliss and knowledge in the spiritual world. So here, Sanda and Amarka are trying to teach Prahlad Maharaj, who's a pure devotee of the Lord, about these mundane things. And Prahlad Maharaj is, it says here, submissive and humble. He's acting as, he's not just arguing with the teachers at this particular point. He's just acting, yes, teacher, yes, teacher, yes, teacher. But he's not accepting their teachings. So he's following the etiquette. He actually followed the Vedic etiquette in relationship to his superiors. So, any questions or comments? For those of you on the internet, we're in Sydney, Australia, with where it's extremely cold.
It's what, 11 degrees today?
It's 11 degrees centigrade.
That's normal.
We just built some snowmen this morning. Yes.
So is it necessarily in this order that when you're performing dharma to obtain economic development, and when you have money, you engage in sense gratification?
Yeah. Does it necessarily have to follow in that order? Well, the only way you're going to get wealthy, or you know, whatever you need to engage in sense gratification, is having some good karma. And that dharma might have been performed in a previous life. You understand? So just like if someone is in some position, achieve some like position of sense gratification or economic development, then that means that they did something before to be in that situation, although it may not be obvious in this particular lifetime.
Can moksha also mean going to the heavenly planets? Above in Ramajoti?
Not really. You know, karma is going to the heavenly planets. Because one goes to the heavenly planets because they want more karma, not because they want moksha.
Right. And once the piety runs out, they come back.
Yeah, the heavenly planets, Shine Punye Marcha Lokam Vishanti, they come back down. Yes, you have a question? Any other questions?
That karma is not only previous life, many previous lives.
Yes. Yes.
Karma doesn't just go away in one lifetime. It comes after that.
Yeah, sometimes it's lying as seed. Sometimes it's almost fructified, whatever. You can have karma from 10,000 lifetimes ago.
And they say, I read that if you do not get punished for your bad deeds now,
you get punished in the future.
Yeah,
you can't escape.
No.
Can't escape from the laws of God. All right. Because everyone has to go to school or go to court. And you see that there's about half of our audience left already. We're eating prasadam, so we're here in Sydney. And there's a lot of nice people watching you today from around the world. Okay. All glorious to Shiloh.